giving this talk, and it's one of those things. It's just so funny how God works, because I've had a really challenging year of trusting the Lord through some things that you're going to hear about this morning. So first, I just wanted to introduce my family. This is my crew. That's my husband, Chris. We have a son, Tanner, is 9, Emma is 7, and crazy Brady is 3. So we have been around here. My husband and I have been married for 13 years, and we've been around here for about that long here at Watermark. I get the opportunity to lead with table leaders here with the Nest, and just table leaders and that table time has meant a ton to me growing up as a mom. I just feel like a lot of time of growth has come through that time, so I hope you have a great table time this morning. Well, I wanted to start off by just out of the gate talking about two different types of trusting. So we have the trusting that is our one-time decision in putting our trust in Jesus for our salvation. And if you've never made that decision, I would love for you to talk to me or someone in a blue shirt this morning. Don't leave here without knowing if you've put your trust in Christ for your salvation. But that's not what we're talking about this morning. We are talking about the daily submitting and trusting the Lord in the big and small things. So, you know, we trust a lot during the day. We trust babysitters to have our kids. We trust that when we press pay now on Amazon, that that little thing is going to come to our door in the time frame they said it would, and that our credit card will not be stolen along the way. We trust that if we are going on a plane, we sit down and we trust the pilot is going to get us to the right destination safely. So we're trusting all the time. But my question this morning is, how are we doing at trusting the Lord through big and small things? So one thing we're going to start off with is just some fun little pictures I want to share with you this morning. It's called I Didn't See That Coming. So I don't know how you guys are with rest time, but after rest time, I never know what really that room is going to be like. Anyone else experience this? So if you'll look at the floor has a bit of a shine to it, and that's because Emma, my daughter, used her eczema cream to create an ice skating rink. I was so thrilled at that. So, and if you can see her quote, it says, I just skate in here in my room. Didn't see that coming. So, and we can go to the next one. This is a special picture of my daughter nursing puppies. So, and what goes with that is that she said, Mama, I can't wait till I grow up and I'm a girl dog and I can feed lots of baby puppies. And so I didn't really plan on going there that day, but I had to tell her, you will never be a girl dog. But I didn't see that coming. So, you know, in these situations, we sometimes smile and we think, oh, that's cute. Or maybe depending on your day as a mom, this might be like number 5 or 6 and you're like, that is not funny, you know? But there are things that come into our lives. And I know in a room this size that there are painful storms and things that we didn't see coming. I know in a room this size, we have family members that have passed away. We have disease, we have sickness, we have rejection, we have dishonesty in marriage. I know in a room this size that we have babies that we've lost, loved ones that we miss or are far from us. And so the storms of life are real. It might be better to take that picture off since we're going this direction. So I just want to relate and say, I know that these big storms are severe and they come on harsh and hard and suddenly. And so we're going to talk through those things today because we know in John 16:33, that God says, in this world, you will have trouble. So it's coming. So how are we doing at weathering these storms? So we are going to begin looking in Matthew 14 this morning. Oh, and sidebar, these are just things that I've been learning. So I hope you learn something from it. It's just where I've been. So, and along the way, I'll tell you a few things that God has been just calling me to trust in. So he's had me here in this chapter of Matthew 14 for a while now. So we're going to pick up in Matthew 14, verse 22. And what happened just before this was that Jesus fed the 5,000 with the disciples. So the disciples got to see Jesus do this miracle. So let's start reading. It says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up the hills by himself to pray. Nighttime fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." So our first point this morning is to just ask the question, what is on the water? The disciples were terrified, and instead of seeing it as it accurately was, they thought it was a ghost. So when storms have come in this year, what I've started doing is just staring down the face of God and saying, what is going on here? I categorized a couple of ideas of what storms could be, and these are not exhaustive, but we're going to go through what could be happening. So some storms we know are corrective. So we can see the storm building in the distance, like in the example of Jonah. We saw Jonah continue to disobey, go the other way. And finally, God sent a storm of correction for him to say, this way. Sometimes in our lives, that looks like maybe a sin or laziness or something that could bring about this storm that maybe we had a part in. So what this has looked like in our community, my community group is here. What this has looked like is we've asked, you know, is there something that I did to cause this result of a storm? It's just worth examining to say, is there a sin that's going on that I need to dig into? Help me examine the situation. So that's the corrective storm. And we know that in Hebrews 12, that God disciplines those that he loves. And I think we have the first part. Yeah, I'm going to skip ahead to verse 10 that just says, "For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness." So sometimes he chooses to discipline us through the storm, and it's always to push us back to Christ. It's not a form of punishment. It's always for our good. It's always to push us to him. So in this case, in Matthew 14, the storm was to perfect or bring about growth. So if you think about how Peter and the disciples, they were acting doubtful, they were unsure of God, and they had just seen him work this miracle just before. But so God wanted him to see his weakness in this moment, but also see God's power. So sometimes our storms are here to push us towards growth. The last one that I came up with was that sometimes storms are just evil. Unfortunately, this year, one of the storms that we got to go through was that one of my kids saw pornography. I didn't see that coming. It was tough, but it was an opportunity for me to get on my knees, to fight for that child, to do whatever needed to be done in action. But it was also a time for me to realize it wasn't just evil that God wanted me to see. He wanted me to see the other opportunities, which were pushing me in my growth to see that God is still over every storm. There is no storm that comes into our lives that he hasn't arranged, that he hasn't allowed to come in. So even though this storm of evil, it was awful, and I hated it. I'll just be frank with you, and I would have picked to not have it. But God in his goodness still knew that it was what I needed to go through, and he used it. So we know that regardless of where we fall on these different hardships, the goal is the same. So whether it's corrective, whether it's to grow us, or whether it's evil, the goal is just to stare down Jesus's face and say, what do you want me to do? What are you trying to show me? So that's where it's been good for me, is whenever I've not fought it and just said, okay, what is it? So the next step that we take is take one step towards trusting and submitting. So if we read in verse 27, it says, "But Jesus spoke to them at once, saying, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," said Jesus. So Peter went over the side of the boat into these huge waves and walked on the water towards Jesus. So what we need to do first, it says, is to take courage. And I heard Adam Tarnow give a great definition of courage. And he said, courage is not the absence of fear, but it is moving forward despite fear. So I'm pretty sure Peter was pretty afraid of jumping out of that boat, but he took the first step. So invest in whatever first step you need to take with this wave or with this storm. Maybe it's grief. Maybe it's something that has come into your life that you need to grieve. If that's you, grieve with the Lord. Maybe God has shown you something that he wants you to be corrected on. Maybe there's a sin that God is trying to reveal. If that's you, examine your heart with the Lord. So the goal here is taking a first step with him. And the good news is that God knows us and he does not expect perfection in trusting. And I thought around this time we might need a little comic relief, so let's see what we have here. Here we are. This is my son Tanner. He said, "I can so do that pose." And I said, "Prove it." And this is what he gave us. So the point here is to remember our step. It doesn't have to be beautiful. It doesn't have to be perfect. Just take whatever first step with the Lord. And then the second part of this piece is to submit to the story that God has in place. It might not be your story. It's probably not the story I would have written for this past year, but submit to whatever God has in store. So we see that Jesus submitted to God the Father in Luke 22 when he said, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. I need to recognize that I might not ever get an answer to why this storm is happening. I need to recognize that he alone is God and I am not, but I am certain that he knows what's going on and it is my job just to submit and follow him." Peace and rest are always found whenever we submit our hearts to the Savior. When we submit, we receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's from Hebrews 4:16. Okay. So our next point is eyes steady, open hands. And Jeannie Cox, if you're in here, open hands is all from you. She taught me this a few years ago, and I've used it ever since. So if we look in verse 30, we'll see. It says, "But when Peter saw the waves and the strong wind, he was terrified, and he began to sink. 'Save me, Lord,' he shouted." So when he saw the strong winds and the waves, he was sinking. So Peter was doing great as long as his eyes were focused on the Lord. But when he looked more to the issue or looked more to the waves, straight down. So our lesson here is we need to abide with Christ more than looking at the waves. So our goal is to keep our eyes steady, which means abiding. So where are we like Peter today? Where are you looking more to the wave and the bigness of it than focusing on Christ? We want to spend more time on Scripture than even leaning on our own understanding on this. And that's from Proverbs 3:5-8. So what do we keep our eyes steady on? This means having the right perspective. And this is one area that really just changed my past semester, going through hard things, is remembering that this life is not about earthly pleasure, but it is about eternal kingdom. And that far outweighs any dreams or ending to the dreams that we have in mind. So it means to keep your eyes on your own hand that you were dealt and looking actively for where God is moving in your own life. So as women who walk with Jesus, we keep trusting him as this comes back in our minds. I don't know if it's how you function, but I feel like sometimes I think I can just trust one time and then I can just kind of do some work over here and then, but then I realize I'm actually doing all this and not trusting. So we have to keep trusting and keep opening our hands. So what is it for you today? What is it that you're clinching onto with perceived control? Because we all know we're not really doing anything by holding on to the safety of our kids, our husband's job, our marriage that's struggling. We're not really doing anything when we're here. But when we're here, there's peace and there's rest. So what is it today that God wants you to have peace and rest on? And what area do you find yourself trying to get back in that driver's seat? Because I know we want rest and peace. It's only found here. So our last part is to remember who your Father is. If we look in verses 31 through 33, I'll read those. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him, saying, "You really are the Son of God." So when we see this, we realize they observed how God was over the storm. And what that brought about was worship. So that's our next part, is to remember that he is even more powerful than this wave. He's the boss of it. And so that brings us to worshiping. I want to cue up a video here that I saw. I'll let you watch this. Do we have sound? No? Okay. That's fine. So when I saw this video, I had just received a tough letter in the mail. This past semester, like I said, this past year has been a challenge. And so we have been working through trusting the Lord with our schooling for next year and trying to follow where he would lead us to be. And I'd been trusting and following, and we got a letter in the mail that said no to the school that I thought we were supposed to go to. And I was pretty thrown off. I thought we were trucking this direction, and we weren't. And when I saw this video, it came at just the right time. Because when I saw those waves, they actually terrified me. They looked really freaky to me. But then if I stepped back and realized that that scary big storm was actually ruled by a God that I should fear, a God that's bigger and better than the storm. So that put perfect perspective on what I was going through. He knew I was going to get that letter. He knows where we're going to be next year, and I just have to keep trusting. But this was great for me. If you do know Jesus as your Savior today, remember who he is. Remember what he's like. He is good. He is trustworthy. He has proved over and over that he will never leave us, never forsake us. I love Isaiah 41:10. I'm going to read it real quick, and we're going to wrap up here. Let me get my little bookmark. All right, it says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." So one phrase that our family uses often is, we're not sure why this storm has come into our lives, but we're going to trust him and we're going to learn from it. So we know that the storm, in the middle of the storm, is not the time to figure out what we're going to do. We need to figure that out today, ladies. So another thing to remember is that he has given us ultimate protection through Jesus on the cross. God loved us so much that he protected us forever. So if that's the scope that you need to look at your issue with, that's helpful. That was helpful for me. I have eternal protection. So we do know that this is not our home and that we cannot wait until smooth sailing of heaven. But until then, let's let those waves that come into our lives push us up against Jesus and the solid rock that he is. So As I said in the beginning, if you don't know him, please, please find one of us today to talk to about salvation. And if you do, are you experiencing that peace and rest through these storms? We're going to spend a little table time now just talking through that. So let me pray us out, and then we'll have some questions on the screen. God, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for the storms and even the ones that we don't want. Thank you that they are used to push us towards you. God, I pray for these women, for all of us here, that we would see you more accurately today, that we would know you better, and that we would trust you with open hands. We love you, Lord, and we pray all this in your son's name. Amen. Okay, there should be some questions on the board if you'll head to table time. Thank you.
I am. Is my microphone on? Okay. I'm Amy Hullum, and I have served with Annette for about 8 years. My husband and I have been married for almost 14 years. We have a 10-year-old. That picture's a little dark, but we have a 10-year-old boy, Luke, 8-year-old girl, Lila, and then 4-year-old Tyler. And my husband is actually here, and he's probably having PTSD a little bit because the trust fall video that you just watched. So yesterday I was kind of prepping for today and watching some videos on YouTube of the trust falling. And my computer at midnight last night rebooted and like ran some sort of update. And I slept through this thankfully because I'm very rested today. But after midnight, after it rebooted, it opened up to that YouTube page. And he woke up to trust fall, like happening in our living room. And I slept through the whole thing. But then this morning he was like, was somebody watching YouTube videos yesterday? And I was like, well, why are you asking? and that's what it was. Like, we were like, I was like, what happened? And it was so weird that it would do that. But like I said, I'm very thankful that I slept through it. But so this video you just watched of the surprise trust falls, back in 2016, that was a thing where kids were going out. There was a hashtag. It was called hashtag trust fall challenge. And they would go around and they would have their friends video them surprise trust falling into strangers or people that they knew, but people that that were not expecting that. And a lot of these videos, like there are hundreds of them. A lot of these videos start off with the kids saying, I'm going to go today and see who I can trust. And then they go, and of course they're just kidding, right? But they're going to school and then they just fall. And there's actually an article that you can read too about these injuries that have resulted from this hashtag of trust fall challenge. And so anyway, my goal today is to talk to you about how to teach your kids about trust, how to trust and who to trust. And then maybe when they're teenagers, they're not going to post videos of themselves on YouTube trust falling into people by surprise. So there are three different buckets this falls into today. The first thing is just talking about what is trust. And so with your children, especially like that preschool age and even younger, maybe a little bit older, they don't even know what the word trust means. And so you have to be intentional just to start using that word with them in a way that makes sense to them, like in context, but so they can start to understand what that word even means. And so it might be something like, oh, it's raining today. You're gonna want your rain boots, trust me, so you don't get wet. Or it could be thunder. Like my youngest was terrified of thunder when he was a toddler, young preschool age. And I would say, buddy, I know it is so loud. I know that it's scary, but we're gonna trust that God's gonna take care of us and that he's in control. So just the very beginnings of using that word with them is your first thing with those little ones. The second thing is you wanna practice it. And with the little ones, it's really easy. It's things like all three of my kids are afraid of dogs. And so when I'm walking with my youngest up to school, there are these same dogs that we see every day. And so like he gets real skittish and like gets as close to me as he can. And I'm like, he's really almost too big for me to carry him. But I'll get down and I'll look in his face and I'll say, buddy, I'm going to hold your hand you can trust me. Those dogs are not going to get you. And I said, and if they start to, I will pick you up. But you can trust that I'm going to take care of you. So he's practicing trusting me with that. Another thing is when he was little, and really all three of my kids didn't like this either, but like when I would rinse the shampoo out of their hair in the bathtub, and like they hate having water on their faces and they don't like the soap on their face, and I would say, like, and they want to sit up straight. You know, they want to be upset up to where that water's still going to just fall down on their face. And I'm like, if you will lay your head back and let me hold your neck right here, I can pour the water and not get any on your face, but you have to trust me. So for little ones, you just find little things like that to start introducing and practicing that idea of trusting. As they get older, this was last year, walking up to school and walking back, but before that, I had made some monster cookies at our house, which those are the ones that have like the M&Ms and the chocolate chips and the oatmeal and peanut butter, all the good stuff in them. And I was so excited for my kids to come home and have this treat that I'd made for them. So I get up there and Lila, my middle, comes running out. She is pumped because in her hand, she has a root beer dum-dum. And so she has gotten this thing, which I think they're so gross. And really, my kids don't really like them either, but if it's like root beer dum-dum versus no dum-dum, they're going to want that. And so it was somebody's birthday at school. They'd pass this out right at the end of the day, and she is ready to eat this sucker. And I'm not going to let her have both. But I thought, I'm going to give her a chance to trust. I said, Lila, you can have that sucker if you want it. But I have something better at home that I think you're going to want more, and you can't have both. So you can either wait and see what this is, and you can trust me that it's a good thing, or you can have this sucker now. And so so she went along because she knows that I know my treats. And so so she put the sucker away. We got home. She got to have a cookie, and she was like, yes, that was right. Like, I'm so glad I waited to have a cookie. So you can get more creative with it as they get older, but just practicing letting them see what it means to trust something and then to see how that ends is really good. The third thing is to build trust. And what I mean by that is, as parents, we are our kids' first and most consistent authority. And so our interaction with them allows them to see what it's like to trust their authority. Now, eventually when they have a relationship with God and as they grow in maturity with that, he's going to be their most consistent and most present authority. But we're the visible ones. We're the ones, when they're little, we're the most consistent. We're the boss, okay? And so I think that there are three attributes of God. There are several, but I've just chosen three for today. Three attributes of God that we get with him through a relationship that we can transfer over into our parenting that I think helps our kids build trust with us that should transfer over into their trust of God later or now if they already have a relationship with God. So the first thing is being approachable. And this comes from Hebrews 4:16. It says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So we get that. Like when we go to God, we can take anything to God and we know that he's gonna extend grace and mercy to us. And so we need to do the same thing with our kids. And I was thinking back to a slime face that we had in our house where somehow my kids had this navy blue sparkle slime. And generally the rule is slime stays in the kitchen where we have tile floors and like tables that can be washed, that sort of thing. But somehow this navy blue sparkle slime had ended up in one of the bedrooms where there is carpet. And it had been left there for a little while. So like slime, if you pick it up real quick off carpet, it doesn't really do anything. But the longer it sits there, it just kind of seeps in. And our carpet's kind of an oatmeal color. And so I remember which kid did it and which kid room it was in, but I don't remember which one told me. But one of them came and told me that there was blue slime on the floor. And if I'm gonna have an approachable response, then I'm gonna go, all right, well let's go clean it up. Let's go get this stuff. I know how to do this. Come and help me. And then we go and clean it up. And while we're sitting there, I might say, yeah, this is why we keep slime in the kitchen, because it's not fun to clean up. It makes a mess. So moving forward, let's remember to keep it down here in the kitchen. The non-approachable response might be, for the love, can we get rid of all the slime? Like, because slime is just everywhere, and it ends up everywhere. It's on everything. It stains your hands. Can we just be done with the slime, okay? And so think about the things that frustrate you as a mom. And it is so easy for me to have that unapproachable response. But think about, like, when you're potty training, and it's like, and they've wet their pants again. Or, and they've pooped in their pants again. Like, whatever it is, they've spilled something again. Those are the things that we want to be approachable with, because then they feel like they can come to us and we're on their team and we're going to help them clean it up because we know what we're doing. And so we want them to have all of that knowledge that mom knows what to do, dad knows what to do. They're going to help me. They're on my team. And so when we have that approachability with the smaller things, then as there are bigger things that are hard for them to bring to us, they're going to trust that they can bring those things to us. And so I would say just think through some ways that you can be more approachable in some of the things that are frustrating as a mom. Okay, the second thing, God is honest. And so this is from Numbers 23:19. God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? So God, because of who he is, because of his nature, he cannot lie. He can only be truthful. He does have timing that plays into things where we may ask him things and not get answers. And so he has perfect timing that might not be the same as ours, but he's always honest. And so with our children, when they ask us questions, when the questions have hard answers, it's so important for us to be honest as appropriately as we can, so that they see us as a trusted resource. So when they're asking us those little questions that have harder answers, like I'm thinking of my son had to get a tooth pulled last summer. And I didn't tell him 2 weeks out because I was going to do some better timing than that, right? But I don't remember if it was the night before. I think it was the morning of, because I didn't want him to stay up worried about it. But the morning before, he was worried about it, and he was asking me some questions about it. He was like, is it going to hurt? Like, and so I was like, you're going to get a shot. Like, they're going to put some stuff on there. It's going to numb it a little bit. You're going to get a shot. It's going to pinch. And I kind of talked through the things. Now, if I had said, no, it's going to be fine, he's not going to trust me as a resource moving forward. And so, again, those little questions, if we can answer those honestly now, then they're going to see us as the resource for the bigger questions. All right, and then the third thing is that God is loving. This is from Romans 8:38, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries for tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. And that means we want our kids to know that there's nothing they can do to make us love them any less. And that can be hard sometimes because they'll do things and in our tone, in our actions, in our words, our responses can be unloving. And so we need to work really hard because I think we can sometimes come up with the loving words, but our tones and our actions speak louder than those sometimes. So we need to work really hard to have all of those three things aligned so that our kids know that they can trust us. They can tell us anything, and we're not going to love them any less. So that's kind of the first bucket of teaching them, giving them some idea of what trust is and what it looks like. The second thing, what are the tools? These are just going to be some really practical things that we've used at our house that have helped our kids understand who God is, what he does, what he's capable of, so that they know who they're trusting in when we talk about trusting in God. So the first thing is Bible stories. Now, if your kids are coming up here on Sundays or Saturdays and they're in starting blocks or on your mark or anything, they are hearing Bible stories all the time. But they also need to be hearing them at home with you. That repetition for young kids is so good. And when you're reading either the Jesus Storybook Bible or the Beginner's Bible or another children's Bible that has just those really basic Bible stories that we hear and teach all the time, when you're reading through those with them and looking at pictures, always be pointing back to what the truth is about God in that story. So for David and Goliath, you might say, you know, there's nobody bigger than God. God is the biggest and he's the strongest and he's the most powerful. Or if you're talking about Jesus calming the storm, you know, those disciples, they forgot that Jesus was with them. But God was with them and they were safe and he was in control. So anytime you're reading those stories, just always be pointing it back to who God is and what he can do. When my kids were really little, up on the playroom wall, we just had some pictures that represented different Bible stories. So like for David and Goliath, there was a slingshot and five little stones. For Jesus feeding the 5,000, we had a picture of a basket with a fish and the bread. And so every once in a while when we were just in there playing, I would say, now tell me about the story of Joseph and his coat, or tell me the story about Jonah. And so they were learning those on Sundays, but then we were also talking about him at home, and it just became normal to talk about who God is and what he can do. So make sure you're doing that. The second thing is scripture memory. And I know that with those little ones, it seems like, oh, how can we do that? But they can. They can memorize Bible verses, and they're not going to completely understand what they're learning, but they'll apply it as they get older. Again, just kind of referencing the Starting Blocks curriculum, there's for each unit, there's a verse that they're learning every week that they come. And they'll bring a card home that has that verse. You can learn those with them. You can teach motions. They do, like kids do great with motions to learn Bible verses. But even now with my older two being 8 and 10, Joshua 1:9 is one of the verses, and it says, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I think that's probably the one that we quote the most around our house, because it'll be like, okay, go get your shoes. And they're like, I don't want to go back to my room by myself because it's scary. And so another kid will say, be strong and courageous. And because it's there, like they have it in their hearts. And now that they're older, they know how to apply it. So it's not wasting your time or your effort to help them start memorizing those things early. The third thing is music. And I think that it's always fun to have music on with kids. And so you might as well be listening to stuff that teaches them about God and who he is. I love Seeds Family Worship. I'm sure y'all have heard of that. There's some great vacation Bible school music, which if you have little kids, they maybe haven't been to VBS yet. But there's some great music out there that you can find on Apple Music and Spotify. And mark this is on the resources sheet, but specifically having to do with trust. There's a vacation Bible school that was last summer that several churches did called Shipwrecked. And the whole thing, every single song is about trust and trusting God and that he is trustworthy and that if there's a storm, he's in control. Every song on that album is amazing. And so find it somewhere. It's like I said, you might have to purchase it somewhere, but I think it's on Apple Music and on Spotify. But it's great because it's stuff that you need to hear too. But then you can ask them, you can reference it if you're driving somewhere and say, what does that mean when it says you're in a storm? And what does it mean that God's in control? And it's great conversation, but then they're memorizing it because music is super easy for kids to memorize. All right, the last thing under the tools is just prayer. And praying for the little things, praying for the big things, praying at meals. My husband and I were laughing, and we've noticed this for years, but like our kids, we call it kind of the kids' prayer. They've just memorized this thing that they say over and over again. They're just reciting this prayer. Occasionally they'll do something different, but most of the time they're just saying the same words over and over. And so one thing I've started doing at bedtime when I'm tucking them in is I'll say, do you have any prayer requests? Like, is there anything about today that you want to pray about or anything that's for tomorrow that you want to pray about? Because I want them to understand that it's a conversation with a living God. It is not something that we're just reciting and saying out loud for the group, okay? And so it's been helpful. Even my four-year-old can say things. And actually, because we started this with him younger than the other two, he does a better job when it's his turn to pray. He'll think about the things like, thank you for our cousins coming over today. And thank you for pizza or whatever it is. But he'll say things that are actually from that day. And so I would encourage you to do that with praying. And that's just developing a good habit for them and teaching them that that's a place to turn when something is going on. All right, the last thing. What about the tough stuff? And what I mean by that is teaching your kids to trust when you don't know the outcome, or when the outcome is bad, or when the outcome is going to be hard. And I think that we all go through those things, and we're going to have to shepherd our kids through those things. And I think that there are three things that we just always have to go back to that are true about God. The first thing is that God is always with us. It's that Joshua 1:9 verse again. God is always with us. The second thing is that God loves us. I think the verse we have for that, okay, Romans 5:8 made it. I wasn't sure if that was going to make it up there or not. Romans 5:8 says, but God loved us so much that he sent his son to die even while we were still sinners. And then the 1 Peter 5:7, give all of your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And then the last one is that God is trustworthy, or God is faithful. And this is Isaiah 26:3-4. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And then also Proverbs 3:5-6, which I think a lot of us probably have memorized and have heard so many times. But when we're in the middle of something that we don't know how it's going to go, it is just a foundational verse to go back to. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. My kids at bedtime love to ask questions. And like sometimes, I'm sure y'all understand, I am so done at the end. Like it's like we've said prayers, we've done all this stuff, they're tucked in, they have their water, it's like we're done. And so in the past couple of weeks, like one of my kids was his eyes were like blinking long blinks, like he was tired. But he goes, Mom, what happened to the dinosaurs? And I was like, what? Like, it's like, I love you, and we will talk about the dinosaurs, but you're going to go to bed right now. Like, you're going to go ahead and go to sleep. And then, I don't even remember, it might have been the same night, I go to check in another kid, and she goes, can you tell me the difference of when you send an email and when you send a text? Like, what? Like, and I was like, I can, but you're going to go to bed. Like, you're going to go to sleep, and we'll talk about this later. But a couple of years ago, and every once in a while I have questions where I'm like, we can't just leave that open-ended. And so the dinosaurs and email I'm good with, but sometimes they ask other things. And a couple of years ago when Lila was 5, when she was in kindergarten, I was tucking her in, and we were talking about death. And it was not the first time we had talked about it. And so I kind of had my answers ready to go for what she was asking me about. And she was asking about my grandmother who had passed away a couple of years ago. And she goes, tell me about how G-Mommy died. And I was like, well, I said, you know, she had a great long life. She got sick. Her body just couldn't work anymore. And she died. But I said, but she was friends with Jesus. And so when she died, she went to heaven and she got to see her husband who she hadn't seen in so long. And she got to see her sister who was her best friend. And she felt so much better. And then Lila goes, well, are you going to die? I was like, well, yeah. I was like, we're all going to die. I said, but I'm friends with Jesus. And so when I go to heaven, I'll be better. And I said, when you die, you'll get to go to heaven and we'll get to see each other. And I said, the Bible says that there are no tears. There's nothing sad there. There's no sickness. Like, heaven is better than we could ever imagine. And so she's kind of soaking all of this in. And then she goes, well, what if you die while I'm still a kid? And I was like, okay. And I'm a 6 on the Enneagram. So I'm like way ahead of her, right? Like, I've thought about this so many times. Like more times than anybody should, but I have. But I wasn't ready to answer my 5-year-old with that question. And so I had to think. And I knew I couldn't put her to bed with that question. And so I thought, well, what is it that I believe? Like, what do I know that's true? And I said, okay, that does happen. Sometimes mommies and daddies die when their kids are still little. And I said, it's sad. It would be sad. And it would be hard. And it would be confusing because that's not really the story that we want. That's not what we would choose to have happen. But I would need you to remember that God is always with you. And that he loves you even so much more than mommy and daddy do. He loves you so much. And he's going to take care of you. He's going to be faithful. And we don't know what that would look like because we're not there. But think about who are some of the grown-ups who love God and who love you who would help take care of you if I wasn't here. And so we started talking through like moms in our community group and family that lives in town. And so she was starting to like be a little bit more at ease as we were talking about how God could be faithful in a really hard situation. But the Lord in his kindness did not even leave us there. That would have been enough. But he brought to mind Matthew 6:34 that says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. And so I was thinking about that. I said, Lila, we don't know what God has for us tomorrow, but we know that this is not what we're facing today. And so I want you to close your eyes. I said, we're going to imagine we have a box. And I want you to put all of those thoughts in the box. And we're going to put the lid on the box. And then I want you to imagine that God is reaching his hands down, big, strong hands. And we're going to put that box in his hands and let him take those thoughts away. And we're not going to worry about it. We're going to trust that whatever he has for us tomorrow, he's going to be with us. And he's going to love us, and he's going to take care of us and be faithful. And so we don't have that conversation a lot at our house, but that's a tool that we go back to. It's like, just put it in the box, let him take it, let him be in charge of tomorrow. And as I was prepping for this, and I'll finish with this, I came across this verse in 2 Timothy, and it's 2 Timothy 1:12. It's when Paul is writing to Timothy, and we don't know that Paul, we believe that Paul did not have any children of his own, but he talks about Timothy being his son in the faith. And he's writing to Timothy, he's in prison. Paul is in prison, so he is in hard circumstances. It's not the way he probably would have written his story. And so he's there, and he's writing to Timothy, and he's talking about how he's been in prison because he's telling people about Jesus. He says, that is why I'm suffering here in prison, but I'm not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. Now, Paul is imparting that to his son in the faith. We have to take what we believe and what we trust and pass that on to our kids. And it's only going to be effective if our trust is in the Lord, if it's fully there. And as we're authentically living that out for our kids, that helps them to understand what it looks like to live a life in trusting the Lord. So all the other things, like the Bible stories, those are great. And the songs, those are great. These are awesome tools. But the most effective thing we do is authentically share our faith and our trust with our kids so they can see what it looks like when we don't know the outcome of something or when the outcome is going to be hard. Go back to what you believe and then just keep pushing them in that direction. All right, I'm going to pray for us. Dear Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for these moms that are in this room who desperately want their kids to love you. Please help us to know the best way to do that, continue to show us the tools and help us to know what the opportunities are that we have to keep pointing our kids towards you. Pray these things in your name. Amen. All right, there's going to be some discussion questions for some table time up on the board.